Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Patriots frustration mounting. Maybe the first challenge for the Patriots in the Gerard Mayo era. We'll get to this here on Jones and Keefe today on WEEI. I think one of the first issues that we've had here, Keefe, is our wardrobe choice today.
So it's kind of outrageous. So if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, which we highly encourage you to do, just follow WEEI on both. Once again, we're wearing like the same clothes. It's kind of stupid
so,
at this point.
Hang on. This is a thing?
Yeah. So apparently, I saw somebody in the Twitch chat mention it. My wife even mentioned it one day. She's like, "Did you guys talk about
your wife in the Twitch chat?"
She was not in the chat.
She's just mixing it up in there.
I think she just took a peek.
Rich is great.
Make sure that she knows where I am.
He's so funny.
Yeah. Nah, she might go the opposite. But so,
God, I hate him.
We were wearing like the same stuff and we ignored it. And there was another day, ignored it. And
okay,
then
but
now.
Hang on. But this is news to me. We've been wearing the same stuff?
Like close to it. Like more than even adjacent. It was like we both had like gray kind of hoodies or white shirts.
Have you noticed this, Lanny? Bill?
So, yeah. So, there was obviously today.
Well, no.
Obviously today.
Today you'd have to be noticed right away.
I'm like, God, I didn't know the telethon was today.
No, there was
one time you guys had like the matching Nike hoodies. The only difference was one had a white check, one had a black check. And then there was one you guys had like this greenish shirt on. I don't want to say it was like a seafoam, but it was like a greenish shirt that you guys kind of
matched. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
Huh. We're so on the same wavelength.
Because I was like, I need to dress up. I was going to see some people today that we don't normally see. So I was like, I need to dress up. This is me dressing up.
Yeah, no, we'll peel back the curtain.
It's a golf polo.
I think you and I had the exact same thought
process.
A free
golf polo from the station is me dressing up.
But I also think it's different years, too, because Jones is a little bit darker than
yours. It's a slightly different blue.
Ooh, I think these are both from this year.
As an owner of both of these shirts,
I think these are both from this year.
This is from last year. No, your color blue is darker.
No, but they give you two. One for each day. They give you
this
two.
This year was two blue. I think last year was red.
I'm saying.
It was Best Buy and Circuit City.
I'm saying.
Right. Dude, Circuit City was a great store.
Let me
RIP Circuit City.
State of the
I worked at
sure was, Bill.
I don't like all this talking about Circuit City. I was a Best Buy employee at the Best Buy Fenway.
I tried working at Fenway, you were?
Yeah. I was yeah.
Do where, you know
which
I applied?
Is now the timeout market. I worked in the I worked that was
really?
Best Buy. Yeah.
I applied to the Concord, New Hampshire Best Buy multiple times. Got rejected every time. I had a DVD obsession.
That's why I started working there.
Yeah. So
I blew my whole paycheck on discounted DVDs.
Correct. I was like, man, if I could get 15% off of these bad boys, I'd be swimming in movies.
I'm so far ahead of the game.
I applied. I did like, they're like, no thanks. I'm like, what do you mean no thanks? I know where everything is in this store. I'm in here all the time. But you're like, employees ask me where stuff is. Like, I should work here. They're like, no, we're good. So I never worked at Best Buy. But there was, in Concord, there was a Best Buy and a Circuit City, like, not far from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes Circuit City would have the better prices. You get a DVD for like $8.88. Then you'd go back to, you'd compare prices.
Like, you're like shopping around.
Well, yeah, because you have like $15. Nice. So you're like, how can I maximize this? How many DVDs can I get with $15?
Like real low-level car shopping. Correct. Just walking in. You're like, I don't know if that's the deal I want here.
They're like,
you're really busting my balls, Best Buy. I don't know. Let me go over to Circuit City, see what I can get.
They're like, hey, Best Buy, they had Scream 2 over there for $9.97. You can't lower this?
I'll drive back over there.
Don't make me go to
Walmart where they're rolling back. Or Walmart, they're rolling back their prices. I'll do it.
Prices are dropping. Beware of falling prices.
Like you read about.
They'll just fall right on your head. 10 cents, 20 cents. But yeah, the long story short, we're in the same clothes again.
No, but we had the same thought. I know how this goes.
Yep.
We had a meeting this morning.
That's right.
Very rarely do we have meetings.
Never.
Very rarely do we see bosses or people of importance.
Right.
We try to avoid them.
Yep.
At least in my experience, I try to avoid them.
Keep
very
your head
much.
Down, stay out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Power through it. Say hi to everybody, but just don't engage.
Mm-hmm.
Just say hello, good morning, keep it moving. So we had a meeting this morning, and the same exact thought process. I'm like, I can't go in my dumb hoodie again. Nope. I can't wear another stupid hoodie.
Even Nick was like, no backwards hat today. I was like, nope.
Nope.
I'm a pro. I'm a real businessman.
We're professionals. Yep. We're businessmen. So our instinct, both of us.
I should have brought a change of clothes.
Without talking to each other.
I should have brought stuff into the car.
Our hoodie and a hat.
Yeah, I probably do have a hoodie and a hat. I'll be back.
But I like that both of our instincts were Jimmy Fun Polo.
Free polo.
What speaks business?
This is it.
More than a free polo hanging up in my closet.
They know. I should have brought a briefcase. What, if I brought a briefcase?
Team player. Thank you, Billy. You get it.
That's also true.
Yeah.
It says it right here on the shirt.
Not bad. We should have brought briefcases.
I even showered.
No. Next time we're in a meeting, briefcase.
Yep.
One.
Like, what's in there?
You gonna share one? Like,
Marcellus Wallace's soul.
I think you both walk in holding the same briefcase.
Yeah. We don't have two.
Hands on it together. You guys holding hands? No. It's a very heavy briefcase.
Did they do this on? I feel like this was done on Always Sunny.
We should
share a briefcase.
Yeah,
with all of our information.
You guys familiar with bird law?
Briefcase filled with empty manila folders.
Yep. And crackers, like Kramer. Did he bring like a sleeve of crackers?
Yeah, saltines.
Saltines.
We could step our, let's get like combos or something.
Okay.
Let's step up our snack.
It's fine with me.
But yeah, so we match. I think we took to heart Devon Godchow saying fantasy is fashion. Rather is a mindset. It's art.
Yeah.
And I think when he told us that, we both took it very much to heart for this meeting, and we said we can't go rolling looking like slobs.
I do appreciate what he said too. Is he's like, just because you throw a lot of money at it doesn't mean that it's great. It's a great fit.
Yeah, it's about confidence.
So we both went with free shirts.
Yeah.
And we have a great deal of confidence.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think we rocked that meeting, too.
I think we did, too.
I think we won the meeting.
That was maybe some of the stronger 6-7 minutes that I've had.
ever.
Really, definitely ever. 6-7 minutes, please.
What do you do with the extra 5?
Wearing the same shirt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like Winnie the Pooh.
Never take it off.
All right, so it's Jones and Keith.
That's it.
Here on WEEI. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. A lot of ways you can interact with the show on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. As Keith told you, you can watch on Twitch. Check out our cool outfits, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, or on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. So you hear Mayo there off the top. This happened in his press conference yesterday at the tail end of our show, after our show, whenever he hit the podium. He was asked about player frustration, and we detailed a lot of this yesterday on our show. You know, Hunter Henry sounded like he was second-guessing Mayo about the fourth down decision. Mm-hmm. He hemmed and hawed, big long pause. I'm like, all right, well, players are probably upset about that. A lot of players wanted to go for it on fourth down on offense, and of course they do.
Yeah, why not?
Pop Douglas, we detailed a couple of different times.
Pop on the tape Douglas.
Good old pop on the tape Douglas. I'm open. Go check out the film.
Yeah.
He said he was happy last year. I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but like he was happy last year. He hasn't gotten a chance to show what he can do this year.
Right.
So players are frustrated. Never mind. If I'm a defender on this team, I'm ready to check out at the drop of a hat. You said this yesterday, and you're right. They don't have much of a leg to stand on based on the way that game went against the Seattle offense, but they carried this team a year ago. They were in a bunch of games. They couldn't win them because of the offense. Week one, the offense was just barely good enough to win a game. But you get the feeling that those defensive players are just teetering on checking out anyway. It feels like, and it's early,
yeah,
but it feels like the first real challenge for Jerod Mayo, and it's a huge game looming on Thursday. How do you keep these guys bought in and not, never mind second-guessing, openly second-guessing the coaching
staff? No, I mean, we talked about how, you know, wins and losses is really, that's it. That's what it comes down to. And we were looking at it almost from like an outside, like fan perspective, right? Like how the season could go, you know, how Jerod Mayo handles himself, how you look at it. Like, well, when you're winning, it's one way. When you're losing, it's another way. But now when you look inside the locker room, and this is a team that those guys are very well aware of what was being said about them and that they might be one of the worst teams in the league. They weren't going to win a lot of games. And I wonder if after winning week one, right, you beat Joe Burrow, like what a shot in the arm that is. And then week two, you're feeling pretty good. You have a lead in the fourth quarter, and it's a very winnable game. And then you lose it to Seattle. It's only one loss, but I think they felt like they were going to win that game. They thought they were going to be 2-0, and now they're not.
They should have won the game.
They should have for sure won the game.
I think they felt it going in, to your point.
Yeah,
and then as the game's playing out, they're like, we should win this. We let it get away.
But also, like, this happens all the time. Like, last night's game, Philadelphia, if those guys in the locker room feel like they should have won the game, they're right. They should have won the game.
That's a good point.
But it's like, all right, how do you respond? How do you bounce back from that? And it's just funny to me because I'm with you. It does feel like there's a ton of frustration, and I'm glad that these guys care, but it's also like, you weren't going to go 17-0. Like, you weren't going to be this wagon of a team. They're taking it personal, and you know, it's almost maybe in a good way. They got the short week, and we'll see what it looks like when they take on the Jets on Thursday. But yeah, there's definitely a good amount of frustration in there, and I think enough to go around. I think offense and defense. Like, this isn't a, you know, point the finger at the other side of the ball week.
Not yet.
But there's a lot going on. I mean, hell, you had a guy quit already. Like, you had a guy just bail on the team already, even before the loss.
Okorafor got benched week one and was like, I'm out of here. And that was coming off a win, to your point. Yeah. So I want to get into who we think they're mad at. Are the players frustrated? Maybe mad is even too strong. Are they frustrated with the coaching staff? If so, who? Is it Mayo? Is it Alex Van Pelt? Are they frustrated with the quarterback play, Jacoby Brissett? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. And how do you think Mayo deals with this compared to Bill Belichick? I will get to it in a moment, but do you think, Keith, because to me it feels more than just we're frustrated after a loss, we're happy after a win, because it really came crumbling down quite a bit just coming off the first week. We were all gung-ho about Mayo and the performance and ready to run through a brick wall for him and blah, blah, blah. And now you're getting like open second-guessing and frustration with the game plan and the approach.
Yep.
Do you think that's just week to week, we're frustrated when we lose, we're happy when we win, or do you think there's more to this?
So I think each guy might be a little bit different, or there's probably groups of it. So I don't, like, you have 53 guys on the team, so they don't all feel the same way. So like Hunter Henry, for example, we talked to him yesterday. He's probably frustrated that they didn't go for it on fourth down. They didn't think that the, you know, the offensive coaches and the head coach didn't think they could get a yard.
But he's happy with 12 targets.
12 targets.
He's probably happy about that.
It was a career high in yards. Like, we're making fun of the offense, but Hunter Henry has never had as many receiving yards in a game as he did on Sunday. So I think Hunter Henry by no means is frustrated with Jacoby Brissett. Probably not frustrated with Alex Van Pelt. Might be a little frustrated at Mayo for not going for it. But that's sort of him. So you put him to the side. I think Pop Douglas probably is frustrated with Jacoby Brissett.
Interesting.
Even if he's not, even if he, you know, maybe he understands, all right, the offensive line's not great. Jacoby doesn't have a ton of time back there. But he's got to be frustrated at Alex Van Pelt, perhaps, for the number of snaps that he's getting. Also, my guess is the receiving crew across the board. And Jalen Polk even made a comment, remember, in the preseason where he was like, you know, we know what you guys are saying about us. If you're not riding with us now, like, don't ride with us or whatever.
Don't ride. Don't get on the bandwagon. Yeah.
He Jaren Duran did.
Yeah.
And it was kind of quiet because everybody was so obsessed with Drake May and Gerard Mayo. We kind of overlooked Polk talking about that. So I think the wide receiver group has a ton to prove, but they are in a run-first offense, one of the very few run-first offenses in today's NFL. And when they do throw it, they're throwing to the tight end and the back. So I bet the receivers have a completely different level of frustration than Hunter Henry versus the defense. Like, they all have their own frustrations after a loss. But for the receivers, they're like, hey, everybody thinks we suck. And based on how we're playing these games, like, they look like they're right. Like, we don't think we suck, but we have three catches as a group.
Yeah, could you throw us the ball?
We need an opportunity. We need a target.
So who are they frustrated with? It's a good question. 617-779-7937. You seem to think Pop Douglas is frustrated with Jacoby Brissett. You said that during the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. You flagged this comment, WEI Afternoons, with Arcan and Hart. Jacoby Brissett's on every Monday, on Patriots Mondays here on WEI.
For now.
For now.
They talk to the starting quarterback, so I believe two more weeks they will have Jacoby Brissett.
This is the better way to phrase that. Yeah, they don't talk to him every Monday. They talk to the starting quarterback.
Correct.
Every Monday. Here's what Jacoby Brissett had to say about those Pop Douglas comments.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's frustrated me. I mean, you know what I mean? If he wasn't, that would be... It would be more alarming to him not getting the ball, to be honest with you. But you know, just explain it to him, man. It's you're gonna have those games where it happens like that. But you know, like I said, it's the second game of the year. You know, we're still trying to figure out our identity and you know how this thing's gonna play out as far as the offense. So you know, it's a long season ahead. I told him, man, it's 15 games left. You know, right? I think we play 17 games now, so 15 games left, man. It's a lot of football left ahead of us. You know, obviously. You know, we're still getting better, you know, as a whole, individually, as an offense, you know. So, I'm glad that he's frustrated. But, you know, obviously you got to use the frustration towards the right way.
So, first of all, I get it. He doesn't know how many more games he's playing, which is why he struggled with. Is it 15 more? Is it two
games,
more?
Yeah.
How many more games am I playing? I get why he struggled with that.
Right.
Again, you flagged that comment. What jumped out to you about that?
So, one, I think he's very uncomfortable talking about it. I don't think he wants to bury Pop Douglas. I think there's clearly some frustration back and forth. I think he even recognizes that the frustration is with him. Like, Jacoby Brissett is usually very comfortable.
Yeah. You are convinced it's him. You don't think it's frustration with the coaching staff and Van Pelt?
Well, I mean, it can be both,
but,
can it?
But you think it definitely can be. Because I think it's more about that.
Yes, because I think Pop Douglas is looking at it two ways. One, he should be on the field more, so that's an Alex Van Pelt criticism. But then it's, when I am on the field and when I am running routes, I need to get the ball. So I think that is a Jacoby Brissett criticism. So it is both, right? Like, he didn't play 100% of the snaps. If he did, he'd have no beef with AVP,
right?
But I think he does. So I think he does have a concern with both. But what kind of jumped out to me with Jacoby Brissett is, usually, say whatever you want about him as the quarterback, he's a good spokesman. He's really good at these press conferences. He comes across, like, even if you're like, ah, you're not a good quarterback, you hear him and you're like, ah, he's a nice guy. You like him. He was kind of like tripping over himself at the beginning of that. Like, I think it's not a very comfortable spot for him to
be.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm glad he's frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say about receivers. Like, all receivers should want the ball. Now, there is also part of it, and I'm very pro receiver, and I'm very, you know, pro getting Pop Douglas the ball. We are talking about Pop Douglas. We're not talking about Randy Moss or Terrell Owens. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a little bit of that.
The further we get away, because we were talking about it in real time yesterday, you know, Karen Garigian wrote about how he had his head down in his locker, he's scrolling through his phone, he blew off the media after the game. Yesterday, he spoke with the media. We'll play it for you coming up if you missed any of it. And, I mean, first of all, he sounded very sheepish about it, but not quite as, like, strong and adamant as I was anticipating.
Yeah, like, I want him to be good, but come on.
So we talked about these comments in real time, but the further we get away from it, the more I am like, okay, bud, like, you're not Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I know. There's
you know,
that, yeah.
You're not, I know he didn't play last night, A.J. Brown or somebody like that.
Yeah,
you're not
.
Ja'Marr Chase. So, like, cool it a little bit. Like, I do want to say that as well, but I think the frustrations are real. And we're getting texts, 37937. Guys, they were supposed to be bad this year. Are you trying to create controversy? Is that your only move? I don't think it's creating controversy.
No, I don't think the team feels that way, though. After I think they thought they were going to surprise a lot of people, and they still might. There's a lot of season left. But I think we're talking more about how those guys are reacting after a loss. Because, yeah, me, you, almost everybody listening expected a ton of losses. And, you know, certainly I thought they were going to lose week one.
Yeah.
And so they didn't. And maybe they were hoping to be a little bit better. And they also had this game. Like, this isn't a Seattle dominated start to finish. And there's like, no, they were in it. And now you can really point back to a play or two as to what could have been the difference.
And as a fan, you're frustrated with the game. So, of course, they're
God,
frustrated.
Yeah.
And they lost. So, duh. I get that part of it. They had a player leave. After 1 week, their offseason plan at left tackle said, I'm out of here.
Nope.
Pop Douglas is saying he wants the ball. He was happy last year. He's not happy this year. And put on the tape, I'm open. Never mind Hunter Henry, I think pretty clearly, second-guessing the decision in overtime to go for it, or not to go for it, rather, on fourth down and to punt. And so I don't think it's creating controversy, but maybe you disagree. Maybe it's just ebbs and flows in the NFL. You're happy when you win. You're upset when you lose. Nothing to see here. You let us know. 617-779-7937. That's how you dial us up. You can also text the program at 37937. We have a lot in store today. It's a Tuesday, which means Kiefer Madness at 1245. We will get to Tier Tuesday for the second time this season. We did it in the offseason. Super Bowl contenders,
right.
Bottom of the league.
Two games into the books now.
Where do the Patriots fit in? So some things I think have changed.
Something, for sure has changed.
So we'll get to that in Tier Tuesday at 11:20. It's also a Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran. With Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's going to join us at high noon, as he does each and every Tuesday. We'll get his thoughts. He thinks the Patriots are going to Drake May soon. And he'll explain why coming up on the program. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. And we're right back with some wide receiver changes. Can they get their offense going? And can they do it on a short week? That's next.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
No targets, no catches. No challenges. Right?
Yeah, very, very challenging. But, you're on to the next game.
Yeah, Gerard said that he wants to get you guys involved wide receiver. How does that happen in your mind?
You're going to see in practice.
Do you think there's anything you can do or the group can do to make, you know, things happen?
Just keep doing what we're doing.
I feel like you guys have been good-wise, route-wise and everything else?
Yeah, you know, you pull up the film. You can tell a bit. But, things happen for a reason, and whenever, my time ready, I'm going to show them.
So if I'm being honest,
yes,
I wish you would be. When I heard Pop Douglas, I was a little disappointed. I was hoping there was more edge to what he was saying there.
No, yeah, you read the comment a little harsher than it sounds.
It read a lot stronger than it sounded, because he's a little meek about it.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
He's just a little fella.
He's a little guy.
Maybe he's a little shy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a lot of opportunity
to
talk like this. So,
I don't think Liberty was like big in the media world when he was in college football.
No.
And so, he's a little meek about it, but what he's saying there still has some punch. Like, yeah, I haven't shown it yet. I'm going to show it. Put on the film. Last year I was able to show it. Not so far this year. Like, I still think those carry some weight. And so I think it's the first real challenge for Gerard Mayo. It's early, but I think it's a real challenge. And maybe you think I'm overstating that. You can jump in on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. As you said earlier, Keefe, this happens a lot in the NFL. Teams lose, players get frustrated, players don't get the ball, they want the ball. Maybe we've been in a bubble here in New England where it didn't happen often. I don't want to say it never happened,
right?
But it didn't happen often. And so it's a new coach getting tested in a few different ways. I think there's something to it, and I wonder if comments like that, I wonder if that gets the Patriots to respond and really fundamentally change things in the offense this week.
Yeah, well, we'll see soon. We'll see. If he gets the ball, they hand it to him, they get it to him quick.
And we agree they should.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is I don't think he is this great receiver. I think he's probably the best of what they have right now. So if you are trying to make the offense more dynamic, then he should get the ball. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Now, it's hard to take his side when he's like, yeah, I could show it last year. It's like, you had 49 catches for 561 yards and zero touchdowns.
That did feel like 1,200 yards on this team.
You had zero touchdowns. He's like, yeah, I did it last year. Did what? Like, come on, my guy. Like, I don't know what you did. We're all in your corner, right? Like, we all want to see him get the ball, at the very least be targeted.
Yeah, I can meet him at some targets. Let's meet there.
Like, what, in practice? Like, you didn't show much of it in the game, and I'm not even blaming you.
No.
You had Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi throwing to you. Now you have Jacoby Brissett throwing to you, or in this case, not throwing to you. So, it is something specific to keep an eye on. Obviously, the whole season is about Drake May watch and when he's going to get in and when he's not going to get in, but
don't you think that helps? I mean, like, if you're Pop Douglas, and this is why I think you believe a lot of the criticism is at Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot. Drake May wouldn't do any better. I think he'd target some of the receivers. Like, call me crazy.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe he'd have a turnover. Maybe he'd take some bad sacks, although Brissett did that too.
Right, he sure did.
I think he'd target some of these receivers, and the reason I say that, I saw it. I wasn't out there at every training camp practice, But I saw it in the preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
He was throwing to the receivers. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it.
And everybody said in the practices, the offense looked so much better when Pop Douglas was involved. Like, oh, crazy. You know, why not? Let the guy go. Because we all like Hunter Henry, but that was all they had going. And it was all in the first half. And most of it was on broken plays. And I wonder if those plays, you know, before Jacoby Brissett started to scramble, if you go back and look at it, Pop Douglas was probably open on a few of those,
yeah.
And he's thinking, "Well, if you hit me right away, you don't have to do the scramble drill and get hit and whatever else." And maybe Pop Douglas has a big game. Maybe he springs one loose. But yet, now that it's really become sort of one of the main talking points about the offense, this Thursday is going to be fascinating. Just to see how does Alex Van Pelt handle this, because we're talking about Mayo. Like, Mayo decided punt on 4th and 1.
Yeah.
But like the
game management kind of stuff, yeah. Not necessarily play calling.
But like running the ball right into the line of scrimmage on 3rd and 1, that was Alex Van Pelt. You know, Alex Van Pelt, who is the head coach of the offense, like all of that is on him. So if Pop Douglas somehow goes another game with no targets or even one target and like no carries or anything like that, you say Alex Van Pelt just didn't even care. Right? Alex Van Pelt's like, all right, we're still going to run the ball.
We're doing what we do.
We do what we do. We're going to throw the tight end to the running back, and we're going to hand it to the running back and not turn it over.
He feels like a we do what we do kind of guy, right? We don't know that yet, and we're going to find out, and maybe they change the game plan on a short week.
Yeah.
And I'll give him credit for that, but he feels like a we do what we do kind of guy.
Yeah. But also, and he might, and maybe he's right, right? Like in the sense that if this was a, you know, Justin Jefferson was like, hey, how come I didn't get the ball?
Yeah.
And then the next game, you still don't give him the ball. Like, that's a fireable offense. But Alex Van Pelt might be saying, look, guys, our best bet is still Ramondre Stevenson. Like, that's still our best bet to win these games.
Yeah. Rogue 6174 in the Twitch chat. Guys, rewatch the games. Receivers are open. He doesn't see them. And
he might be right.
That's the book on Brissett. Brissett doesn't process fast enough. It's why he takes so many sacks. He doesn't turn it over. But is he seeing things in the quick game? Is he seeing guys, as you said, getting open across the middle of the field quickly? And if he's not, he has to roll out, evade pressure, and throw on the run to Hunter Henry. That was pretty much
what
they did last week.
Do you think he's also afraid, talking about Jacoby Brissett, to throw like a tight window throw? Because the reason he's out there is to not turn it over.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'm only going to throw it when Hunter Henry is wide open and I can basically like hand it to him. Like some of those throws were like not that far down the field and were right into a wide open uncontested catch.
This is why I think that the lack of interceptions that Brissett's thrown in his career, I think it's very misleading. It's good he's not turning it over, but he's also not taking any risks.
It's the guy who never strikes out but never hits home runs.
Yeah, not taking any risks to make any plays, and I just think it's a misleading number. I'm not telling you he makes a lot of turnover-worthy plays. He doesn't. He just also doesn't make any plays.
Right.
Our buddy Matt on Twitter, at JonesWEEI, at Keefe21, the Patriots have a bottom three wide receiver room. I'm not sure Pop would make half of the other NFL rosters.
So I think, that's a little strong.
He'd make the roster, but would he be on the field? I might meet you there. Is he on the field for half the teams in the league?
I think he is a number three receiver on a lot of teams.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Because I also think, you know, we did this exercise a little bit during the offseason, and there's a lot of teams that have the one wide receiver that you're like, well, that guy's way better than anybody they have. But then it kind of falls off a little bit. Like, there's a lot of teams, like the Giants. We all like Malik Nabers. You like anybody else? Like, there's plenty of teams like that.
Wandale Robinson?
No.
No, not
no,
really.
Thank you.
No.
No on Wandale.
Jalen Hyatt? No, thanks.
I don't want Jalen Hyatt.
Right. Not every team is the Texans
with
Nico Collins and Steph Diggs and Tank Dell. Not every team is even the Titans. They have a good room. Hopkins, Ridley.
You see that Ridley touchdown this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, sick.
Against the Jets? Yeah, that'd probably be a useful receiver.
That's sick.
They have Tyler Boyd as well, so not every team has that. Fair.
But I think Pop Douglas, I think it's a little overstated, but I get the overall point, too, is like he is talking a little bit like he's done more in the league than he has.
Yeah.
There yet. You got to have confidence, though.
I respect
the confidence.
Do you think they can remake things on a short week? Like the timing, in other words, to like really tear up the playbook or lean in on certain things on the call sheet, it's not a great week to do it because you have the quick turnaround, never mind the defense you're going against, which, by the way,
yes,
if you're a game plan team, I think you can run on the Jets. I think the Niners showed it week one. Pollard ran decently well against the Jets this past weekend. So if you're talking about a game plan team, I think you can run on the Jets. They're real hard to throw on, real difficult to throw on. And so I don't think the game plan aligns to throw on the Jets, and I don't think a short week works well to really rework your whole playbook and get, I don't know, different plays and different groupings and things with these younger receivers, I don't think it's a great week to unveil it, even though I think they need to do it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think you're probably better off running against them. I think that's what they're going to do. You know, it also, for them, I think they're just, if it's a close game, they're not going to open it up. You're the only real scenario in which they kind of go away from what we've seen thus far, because they played two close games.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's been so far. So if they're down 14 points or more, then you're kind of forced into it. Like, then at that point, it's a game against the clock, and I don't think you can just run it the whole time.
No. We have a lot coming up here today on Jones and Keefe. You can jump in line, 617-779-7937. Frustrations mounting for the players. First real test for Jerod Mayo. How does he deal with it, and how big of a problem is it? Oh, and by the way, who are they mad at? The coaching staff?
Who is this versus?
Or the quarterback? You can jump in again, 617-779-7937. We have Kiefer Madness at 1245. We have Tommy Tuesdays. Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston will join us at high noon. We'll also get the Tier Tuesday coming up about 40 minutes from now. We'll do some power rankings throughout the NFL. But Matt in Rhode Island is waiting patiently. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. Yeah, I'm Bob Douglas. I listened to that. You know, they asked him a bunch of questions, which I think he deferred to, and then, you know, he kind of gave in, and they got what they wanted. But like, I got to tell you, like, I don't disagree with him. I mean, the offensive line is faulty, so is it that hard to call his number on a 3-yard drop and a 5-yard slant when he's the most explosive player on the field? He's just probably frustrated because any one of those plays could have won that game. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot in there. Like, I think I'm sure Pop Douglas isn't just pissed at only Brissett. I think he understands probably the offensive line isn't great and giving the quarterback a ton of time to throw. So there's frustration there. He's not on the field as much as he probably wants to be. That's a frustration with Alex Van Pelt. But also, if he's thinking he's probably the best receiver on the team as of right now, and he's not alone. I think most of us kind of feel that way, right? Like, maybe Polk. Hopefully Polk will be soon.
Yeah, maybe I'm wish casting, but I would answer it Polk. But okay, that might be more, you know, forward thinking than anything we've seen. Yeah.
Let's say he's the second best receiver then, even for the sake of this argument. He's thinking, all right, game is over. Jacoby Brissett threw 27 passes and zero were to him. Like, I don't know how you justify that.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be pretty pissed.
It seems problematic. So look, I mean, an easy, to me, solution to the receiver problems, and I think Phil Perry's been on this. I've seen him write about it. He's discussed it on TV as well. Get some of these receivers off the field who are out there a lot.
KJ Osborne,
75% of the snaps.
Oh, my God, for one catch.
He didn't have a catch until overtime. He didn't have a catch in regulation.
It was a big catch, though.
It was a decent little catch.
It set up a punt.
51 snaps, 75% of the time. I'm shocked Thornton played as much as he did. 46% of the snaps. 31 snaps. I don't need him out there.
One thing about him, though, zero targets, no complaints.
Good point. Wasn't the squeaky wheel
he
there.
He hasn't said a word.
So, like, can you get those guys off the field and give me more Douglas, Polk, maybe even Javon Baker? Would that change things? I think that's worth seeing on Thursday night. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, you're going to be in some low-scoring games this year. I think they've already been in some low-scoring games so far this year. Another injury for the Patriots on defense. Can they win on defense with injuries piling up? We'll get to it next.
What are your conversations like with Alex when it comes to maybe what you would have liked to seen as far as certain drives go, you know, with certain play calling? What's that like for you?
Yeah.
Staying on top of that.
Look, we're on the same page. We're on the same page. We know we can run the ball. Saying that, he understands that, you know, we got to get some of these other players popping in particular, but some of these other players involved more in the offense, and that's what we'll do this Thursday.
That was a promise from Jerod Mayo.
Nice.
That's what we'll do on Thursday.
Can't wait.
And he mentioned Pop specifically by name. Good old Pop on the film, Douglas.
Pop on the tape, Douglas. I'm in.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get to Tier Tuesday coming up 1/2 hour from now. We have Misleading in an hour. We'll revisit something from the Greg Hill Show. I know Wiggy was very interested in the Manning cast last night. I didn't take in a lot of it.
Bill Belichick all over it.
He was.
I heard him talking about Arthur Blank.
I saw some clips.
Yeah, I'm
with you on this.
Yeah, I didn't watch.
It's
not for me.
Omaha Productions last week tweeted out, what's better than these guys nerding out on football?
Tons of stuff.
I'm like, I don't know. Buck and Aikman.
Although, the other broadcast.
Although Kelsey pissed me off a little bit last
Jason
night.
Jason Kelsey, good personality. I like Jason Kelsey. Not everybody's cracked out for the booth.
Well, and just, I was watching it. The Falcons won the game. And I'm like, if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm just bullcrap at listening to Jason Kelsey in the booth.
Third quarter only, though, right?
Well, but
I think it was only the third quarter.
I think it went into the start of the fourth.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Falcons were winning the game. They're like driving down the field, and he's still talking about like the tush push. The other end.
They're big tush push guys.
I'm like, guys, yeah. I know there's not a lot of Atlanta Falcons fans out there, but if I were a Falcons fan, I would be so upset at this broadcast.
They feel pretty good, though, after last night.
Yeah.
Falcons come down. Kirk Cousins in prime time.
You like that?
Whoa, they sure did. Did you see Raheem Morris, by the way, after the game?
I'm not sure.
So I don't think they dumped the Gatorade on him. This was his first win with the Falcons, right?
He's won games before in the league.
It's true, he has. He's been a coach before. So Jerod Mayo, week one, dumped the Gatorade. Everybody's happy for him.
Uh-huh.
Raheem Morris, there's a video going around of the Falcons locker room after the game.
Insane.
Really? You would have thought they won the Super Bowl. Nice. They were so happy for Raheem Morris. They're going crazy.
I like that.
Big comeback, though. I mean, Kirk Cousins, people are like, primetime Kirk Cousins. Blows. Kirk Cousins, week one, bad. Marched right down the field like no resistance in that Monday night game. I was up watching it for fantasy purposes.
Me too.
Or porpoises, because I got screwed. Saquon Barkley?
Yeah.
I got screwed.
You got
this is a fantasy screwing.
Look, let me tell you, I was going against Saquon last night. That was clearly not a touchdown when he went down at the half yard line.
No.
But you gotta catch that ball at the end of the game. What are you doing?
So that was bad. That cost him the game. So this is what I don't like about it. So Saquon Barkley looked like he couldn't be stopped in the first half.
Yep.
Then he was very much stopped. They stopped going to him.
Stopped like you read about.
Right. Yeah. So then he has a play where he breaks through, almost scores a touchdown. They call it a touchdown on the field. If that's a touchdown, I win my fantasy matchup. I know you don't care about that, folks, but I'm just painting the picture.
I'm going to push back.
Maybe you win your bet. Maybe you win whatever.
I care.
Okay, thank you.
I know a lot of people are like, I don't care about hearing about other people's fantasy matchups. I care.
That's very kind.
I like hearing about your matchup.
That's very kind. Huh. And so it all came down to this. I was the guy I was playing against, my dad, had nobody left. So it was just me and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
So we're watching it.
Mono a mono.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had to beat him, who the best Keith was in the fantasy league. So he gets called down, and it was the right call. But this drives me nuts. Feed him. The guy was right there. They practically celebrated it. Give your running back the touchdown. They're like, nope, first down, tush, push, lame.
You got a two-point conversion out of it.
Yeah, I know. I needed six.
Two instead of six.
I needed six.
That's something.
Actually, I needed four is all I needed.
Yeah.
But, the tush, push. Which I'm not anti-tush push, by
I hate
the way.
I hate the stupid tush
you
push.
You do?
Yes.
Well, I hate it now that I have Saquon Barkley. But last year...
Yeah, actually, last night I kind of liked it. But
it hurts at 11 one-yard touchdowns last year.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's not a real play.
Stop it then.
It has nothing to do with... you have to stop five guys pushing one
you
guy.
You have 11
That's
men
not a real
on
play.
That side of the ball.
That's a stupid... It's the stupidest, lamest cheat code play.
Well...
I'm sure Bill is just kicking himself that he didn't come up with it years ago.
Well, Brady's not going to. Actually, Brady was an excellent QB sneak guy, even without the push.
You can do it with any quarterback. Just shove him for a yard.
You got to do it with a guy who can squat a Buick.
Such a stupid play.
That's what they say about him. They're like, he can squat 600 pounds. That's why he can do it. Or he's got an offensive line that just dives down, and then the running backs throw him forward like Reggie Bush against Notre Dame.
Stupid play. Cheap play. But
works every time.
On Sirianni.
Yeah.
And this is, to me, there's a good piggyback off the Patriots game. We're all like, Mayo should have gone for it on fourth down. Anybody who says we'd second guess it if he did and it blew up in his face, Sirianni's a great test case. He's throwing on third down last night, stopping the clock for Atlanta.
So stupid. They used all their timeouts. They used all of them.
Yeah,
Atlanta did.
On top of it, they went for a bunch of dumb fourth downs in the game, I thought, for the Eagles. So, it's hard to play that one both ways.
As bad as Saquon Barkley's drop was, if they just handed him the ball, even if he gets tackled immediately, they win the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Instead, Kirk Cousins just like a hot knife through butter. Man. No defense. And then Darius Slay is a good corner.
Yep.
I don't know if you caught the final.
Not on that play to Drake London.
Pants fell out. You might want to go back there. There's only some lingerie on the field there, Darius.
Let me tell you.
Drake London, nice move.
Drake London anytime, plus 230.
Did you not?
I did.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Drake London confidence.
That was nice.
Where is that coming from?
Mike's in the car. What do you got here today, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, everyone's talking about the receivers or the offensive line not producing, but no one's been mentioning the overtime coin flip call. I think the Patriots should have put their defense on the field first.
Yeah, I mean, we're both shaking our head at that. Yeah, no.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, in the playoffs, both teams get the ball no matter what. But in the regular season, if you score a touchdown, the game's over. So I'm taking the ball.
Yeah, I'll take
it. It's not like a crazy win situation. Even then, I'd take the ball.
I would take the ball in any scenario every single time.
Also, the defense...
I don't care about the stupid wind. I would take it every single time.
No, so would I. The defense wasn't lights out. I thought what he was going to call was to say that the defense wasn't great, but he was actually saying the defense is so good he should put them on the field.
So now, shame on me for not mentioning it. Billy had it trending earlier. Juwan Bentley now out for the year, which, by the way, did you see Jeremy Fowler? I almost read this late in the show. I'm happy I did, and I just forgot.
Jay Fowler?
Jeremy Fowler said he was going to play on Thursday.
Jeremy
Fowler's like confidence in the building. He's going to play on Thursday.
In a now deleted post.
And now now he's out for the year. So they've lost Christian Barmore. They traded Matthew Judon. No more Juwan Bentley. The plan is to run the football and win games on defense. Can they do that with some of the injuries they sustained?
It's going to get harder and harder to win on defense. Bentley's the guy that really won me over. His first 3 years in the league, I was like, he's kind of a slow linebacker. I don't know if he got faster or he was just putting a – maybe the number change helps. You go single digit, you look a lot faster.
Yeah, eight's so
– eight's nice.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, a little snowman? You don't like eight?
It's just a little boxy looking for me.
No, it's one digit, though.
Yeah,
it
but
makes you look faster for a linebacker.
Like a one makes you look fast. That's slim and trim.
So is a zero, though. Eight's a similar shape.
You know what a zero – ah, fair. A zero makes you look fast. I agree.
Kyle Pitts wears eight, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he stinks.
He doesn't look fast.
No, he doesn't. No, but Bentley has won me over in the last couple of years. I think, didn't he lead the team in tackles the last couple of years? And so he might not be the biggest playmaker in the world, but he had a few sacks last year. Like, that is a loss. And he's one of the veteran guys. He's a leader on that side. So you're taking away talent, leadership. Like, yeah, that is going to be tough. If this team was really going to, you know, surprise people, they were probably going to have to be a top five defense, let alone a top 10 defense. And you've now trimmed away three of your five best players probably from a month ago.
That's tough. It's not ideal. No. So can they win games that way? 617-779-7937. How long are they sticking with Jacoby Brissett? It's a conversation we'll have with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tommy Tuesdays. Here on Jones and Keefe. Curran thinks they're going to go to May soon.
Thursday?
We can explain why. I don't think it's Thursday.
All right.
We can explain why coming up. And on top of it, looking league-wide, and we were just talking some Monday Night Football, Bryce Young, arguably the worst pick, number one overall in NFL history, one of the biggest quarterback busts there is. You can jump in on that. And is he a cautionary tale for Drake May and the Patriots? Let's get to it with all your phone calls next.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.